Shalom, Rav Lightman.
Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, Oren. I want to talk to you about a few current events. The happiest place in Israel. There's a sense of happiness and joy in the rehabilitation departments in Israeli hospitals. There's a sense of joy and uplifted spirits that the wounded fighters, most of whom are young, bring with them, many of them, including a student of yours whose son was seriously injured in combat, say that the rehabilitation department is the happiest place in Israel. How do you explain it, that a place where people were critically injured, some lost limbs, is the happiest place in Israel? How is that possible? Where do they get the strength from? From above? I have no other answer. The upper force, the Creator, takes care of them and gives them vital strength. And they feel it. And the uplifted spirit that they feel, and the hope and the tranquility, with all the things that they go through in treatment, nonetheless, they have more and more strength. What kind of strength is it? It seems from out of this world. It is. It is from out of this world. It's from the upper world. It simply lands on them, and that's how they exist, live their life. I remember when my son visited a friend of his there who was critically injured at some point. He said that the atmosphere there is like one big family. If someone has something, it's for everyone. If a guest comes to visit someone, he brings to everyone. They're all like one body. Yeah? How does this magic work? How is it because they were in combat? Because they feel that, unfortunately, by this event, they feel that they're all connected. And this is what ties them together. Medicine and the doctors that are really soul devoted in order to help each and every one of them, and all the teams, everyone, they're really soul devoted there, and they're able to cure the body. My question is, how will we be able to also cure their soul with everything that they saw and the traumas they've experienced, lost friends? They saw terrible things. How will we be able to cure their soul? Only through our care. Through our care, caring. By that the wounded and the sick, ill, will feel soul devotion. From all the doctors and nurses and everyone. And also the people that come there to visit them, how everyone wants to help each and every one of them in particular and all of them together. What does it do to a person who saw terrible things? It gives them strength. He sees that people are next to him and are willing to be behind him. And whatever happens, and they're thinking only about how to cure him and bring him back home healthy as much as possible. How is a soul renewed? Only out of the care, by the care of the environment. Why? Because love comes to the soul from that. And therefore, it's cured. We entered a new period in which the fighters and the injured that come back, they're already a very large quantity. What is their role in our society? Their presence in our society will cure society a bit. I really hope. In what way? In that they have a different attitude toward life. toward the population, the people, war, everything that we have in the nation. It will cure them. A person who is critically injured and stays alive, maybe lost an arm, a leg, many difficult things. What does he have? What gives him the strength, the hope? He gets help from above. The Creator has mercy on them, holds them, brings them closer to Him, and by that force, they feel that they have both support and also a future. What can we, the public, learn from them, the heroes that were willing to sacrifice themselves and were injured for us? We need to simply open our hearts and allow them to enter our heart and for us to enter them in a way that, in that way, and that will feel that we're all together as one man in one heart.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Moving on to our next topic. In the Passover Haggadah, we read that in every generation, a person must see himself as if he came out of Egypt. These days, it seems completely irrelevant. We're not slaves, and the Egyptians don't control us. So the question is, why should we see ourselves as if we came out of Egypt? Because really, it's something that burdens us, puts pressure on us from above, and we need to feel it, and preferably to really live as if you have now received the opportunity to come out of Egypt. But I'm not in Egypt, so why come out? So, please,
I
ask of you to feel as if you came out of Egypt, that you're a slave in Egypt, and you came out, and now you need to build a new life. Can you repeat it, please? Now you need to build a new life. This is what's asked of you. So it's like guided imagination that once a year we have to say, suppose we're slaves in Egypt and now we're coming out. Yeah? So it's a kind of guided imagination session. Yeah? What will it give us? That really, we will feel that we were slaves, and in every generation, there are those that come to destroy us, and that we need to set our hopes on the upper force, and only if we connect ourselves into being one nation can we come out of this enslavement. The enslavement, is it something that you feel today as well? Yeah. What kind of enslavement is it? We are a little country, small land, that so many countries and people and organizations are closing in on, all of them wanting to really massacre us, slaughter us, and we have no choice. If we feel that we're coming out of this kind of enslavement and we're willing to be connected all of us together, then this way we can be saved from Egypt. What's the moral of the story of the Exodus from Egypt that we need to repeat each and every year? What does it come to teach us, the story? That we were slaves? That we were in a land which is not ours, not as ordinary people, but as slaves. And that we don't want to go back to something like that. Do you think that something like this might happen again, God forbid? Anything can happen. With us, anything can happen. So we're repeating the story for it not to happen again, God forbid? Right? Now, our generation, what can we add to the long chain of Jews that every year celebrate the Passover and tell the story of the Exodus from Egypt? What can our generation add to this chain? Our generation can add, in our situation, new strength, that we're willing to connect with each other in order to ask the Creator and get such forces from Him that we will never again go back to Egypt. Egypt symbolizes something? Of course, it is the symbol of slavery, the symbol of dependence. We need to understand that we never came out of Egypt, if one might say. We're still in a state where Egypt, in many cases, exists among us. What do you mean, among us? That we don't feel ourselves free of slavery. We're not willing to be a free people, free of everything. We have to show ourselves, especially the measure in which we respect each other, we love each other, we're willing to be connected and to go against our enemies. See what happens now. Again, around us, there's Iran and Hezbollah and all those organizations, and they want again and again to really bring us to enslavement. So the enslavement, the security threats that we have today are also a part of the enslavement. Yeah. So at the end of the story, there's a miracle, the upper force delivers us. What does it mean to be free? To be free means to be sure of our own forces, of our own strength, that we can stand against those enemies that really want to once again bring us back to enslavement. On Passover Eve, we sit and read the Passover Haggadah. And it says there that you need to tell it to your sons, that you need to pass it from generation to generation. What are we supposed to say, actually? We need to say that I, in no way, in no state, do I go back to Egypt. For this, we need to be connected by the force of good, in a good society, to take care of ourselves, each of us to open his heart to his fellow man, and then we can open a good future, the good future for ourselves. Before we sit, before the Passover, we clean the house. Where does it come from, this custom? Yeah, in many cases, Passover is cleaning. Why? Why are we so meticulous about the cleaning before Passover? Because we need to clean ourselves of our ego, of our evil inclination. That's called leavened. And we have to see in every corner, in every place, do we have leavened left there, meaning in all the corners of the heart, in all of our sensations, in the relations between us, so others to examine ourselves. Can we really be clean of it toward each other? And then we have a chance to really come out of Egypt. Until, in the meantime, or as long as in the meantime, we see what goes on here on the streets, the kind of threats, horror. Starting with our kids at school and up to the grown-ups and adults. If we look at how they treat each other, people here in Israel, the way they treat each other, we still did not come out of Egypt. I have a question about holidays. We're talking about Passover, but if we look back on Simchat Torah, on the holiday of the rejoicing of Torah, the terrible disaster happened to us. Is there no special protection over us on these special holidays or days? Why? Why should there be? Well, because it says, and also you mentioned that in every generation there are those that come to destroy us, and the Creator saves us from them. So, in such days, holidays, I thought that maybe He's closer to us. He'll save us more, keep us more. Right? He's close. Along with it, that we sometimes get blows, it's in order to teach us that we don't need to all the time sin and turn to the Creator, that we want something better. We ourselves don't come closer to the Creator. We're not coming closer to each other. We are living in a way that as if we have an unlimited credit account, and that's not correct. That's incorrect. So when we will sit with our families on Passover Eve, what's important to talk about? About the connection? Only the connection. Besides that, we don't lack anything else. The land, the army, the everything. We have everything. We have everything. The only thing we are missing is a good attitude toward each other, good relations between us, and this will really open the gates of heaven for us. The conflict with Iran. It's already clear to the whole world that we're at war with Iran, which has been investing great resources and efforts to harm us for years. For years, they're talking about a nuclear bomb and their desire to destroy Israel. They're using every possible means to try and harm us. My question is, what do they want from us? Iran, why does it hate us? Iran is a superpower that wants to rule, if not the world, then at least the Middle East. And we, even though that we're not a superpower, but we're standing in their way. Standing in their way. It's not even a matter of religion, but it's simply that we, actually we are a superpower in the Middle East. And it's a big problem. It's a big problem. There's no solution. No solution. With Iran, there's no solution. Only in that we will connect ourselves as one man and one heart, and then we will be closer to the Creator, and we will receive from Him all the guidance as to what we need to do, how should we live our life, how should we be, and what to do. You're saying that we're standing in their way to power in the Middle East, meaning they're motivated by the desire for power. Yeah. If you look at Iran, they have so many internal problems, it's unclear why instead of solving their problems, they're all the time looking at us. What's up? It's easier than to deal with their own problems. You see? To deal with Iran's problems, you need to really turn everything upside down. And they're not interested in all these things. They also have a problem. But it's better to pour everything on Israel. I want to focus on Iran and Israel for a moment. Is there some kind of spiritual root for this collision? Actually, with Iran, no. With Iran itself, no. We can really be friends. You really think so? I think so, yes. I think that Iran is not a really Muslim, a real Muslim country. As much as I know Iranians personally, I can say that they are very good, educated, well-educated people, well-mannered. It's good. And something very, very similar to Jews. In what? In character. The free Iranians and the free Jews, they're very similar to each other. It said that their supporters there, that the regime suppresses, of course, persecutes, but that gradually they're starting to form beneath the surface some kind of identification with us, sympathy, right? Where does it come from? I don't know. Maybe from those years in history. Many Jews came from there to Israel. I know many Iranians. I knew many Iranians in the past that really I have good recollections about them. So there are positive kernels, but also many negative forces that already directly attacked us. Will it be possible to prevent some big military collision between us, or we have no choice, it's till the bitter end? I think that it's possible. With Iran, it's actually good. It's possible to build good relations with them. They are a people that they don't like fighting. They themselves know, through someone maybe, but they themselves know. By character, they're very close to Jews.
Yeah.
That's the impression that I have left. What does it depend on that we shift from a path of a harsh military collision to a path of, I don't even know how to put it, but because it seems so irrational, I can't even say what a different trajectory might be, a different path. The transition from hate to love. I don't think that the Iranian nation, the majority of the nation hate us. I don't think so. But along with it, We need to wait. But besides waiting, we also need to hope that the relations between us eventually need to change and heat up correctly. I hope, like all of us, that our military strength will protect us and will be greater than theirs always. Is there something else that we can do, something that will deflect things in a more positive direction? I don't know. I never really studied that country and the nation there. I don't know. I mean, spiritually wise, that you, as a Kabbalist, look at these two nations, Israel and Iran, on this path of collision, that a world war can break out. In your opinion, what can be done in order to prevent this explosion that might happen and ignite the entire world? We need to only be united and pray to the Creator that He will help us be together and be favorable in the eyes of the entire world, that the entire world will know that we are all for peace. Today they want to destroy you. It doesn't matter that you want peace. You did peace, you made peace with other Arab countries. But the Iranians, they want to destroy you. They want to get nuclear weapons. You can say, I'm all for peace, but there's no one on the other side. They're directly shooting at you already. Along with it, I want to say that I am sure that we will be close to them and we will have an agreement with them. What does it really depend on? It depends on the measure in which we will stand on what's important to us, and they will see it. Keep to what's important to us. And then they will agree. This I don't understand. What do we need to do in order to cause the Iranians to change their attitude toward us? Today they're saying we want to destroy you, and they're working in that direction. They're trying to do it in all possible ways. You see a different picture on the horizon. I'm asking, what's the transition from this to that? Is it in our hands? They're waiting for a miracle. Maybe it seems like a miracle, but I see it. I see it. Yeah. Well, first of all, it's very soothing that you see a miracle on the horizon. Can we speed the miracle up before a catastrophe comes? You see that in these days, well, this night, as you have seen, we saw that they weren't able to hit us, harm us. And after this, I'm saying that I have a warm feeling toward the Iranians and that I'm willing to connect with them. How to make them want to connect with you, with us? I appreciate that your heart's open to the entire world. I think it's a part of our character to be good with everyone. But how can we cause them to shift from hate and wanting to destroy us to a desire to connect with us too? We need a mutuality and connection. How do we cause them to change? Time will come. Time does thing. And in the meantime, what do we need to do? In the meantime, of course, we need to grow stronger and equip ourselves and arm ourselves. That's for sure, but beyond that, what does Kabbalah say beyond that we need to arm ourselves and do everything, etc., etc.? Beyond that, what does Kabbalah say? What else can we do to bring something good? Only the connection of the nation. What nation? Our nation. Only the connection of our nation, and that everyone will aim from that connection to the Creator. What do you mean by Creator? The upper force that dwells upon us, protects us, keeps us, and promises us the correct future. Can we cause Him to protect us a bit more? Yeah? How? If you keep yourself and the entire nation of Israel, if the nation of Israel will connect some more and each will give the others a feeling of love, then by that we will come to all the good and correct things. Can it also project something onto the Iranian people? Of course, onto the entire world. Project what? If we will want to be connected between us, then that force will hover over all nations, and no one will want to come to us with anything bad. Why do they want to come with plenty of bad things to us today? Because of the way that you behave. See what happens on the streets here in Israel. The mess, the hate. The look what goes on. You see a connection between the hate, between the inner hate between us and the hate of the Iranians towards us. Yeah, that's how we're inviting them to turn to us. We, by not arranging the hate between us, dealing with it, taking care of it, we project onto the entire world that they can be in hate towards us. That's a serious matter. So according to this, military force is insufficient in order to determine the battle. Of course not. And you see that it doesn't happen. It doesn't. But we need to understand that only the connection between us Jews, only it can force all the nations of the world to also be in good relations between them and with us. What do you mean to force? To force? How does that work? We'll push them toward tranquility, peace, different things. So it starts here in Israel, yeah, in our attitude toward each other, yeah. This is the only way. Otherwise it won't work. Don't look. For giving the Iranians candy, won't work. What you need to do is to make a good connection between the Jews, and you'll see that all the nations of the world will want to connect to you as well. I wish. Moving on to our next topic. Why can't we unite? After October 7th, there's an understanding in large parts of the nation that it's critical for us to unite. Many people in Israel make great efforts to unite the nation. But we see that despite the efforts, conflicts between right and left, secular and religious and so on, are once again arising. Why can't we get along? Why can't we unite? We have an evil inclination, our ego, that is burning and is burning us from the inside, and therefore we can't come closer to each other, all the more to connect, unite, embrace, love each other. This is really something impossible. What's that evil inclination that burns us from the inside? That I feel myself greater than the other. I can't connect with the other, to the other person. I can't feel the other person. I can't see the other person. Intended to be my brother, for them to be as my brothers. If to examine things, I don't know people in the country after the 7th of October that do not understand that unless we unite, our life is in danger, literally. Now, so this is something that more or less everyone understands, and still, even though that there is a life-threatening situation, we can't unite. Why? We can't unite. Why? Our evil inclination. That is the greatest of them all. You have no other nation on this planet that will be as egoistic as the nation of Israel. On the other hand, you see that in time of trouble, there is soul devotion like in no other place in the world, heroics, stories of heroism that you can't believe. Right. So it's like there's all the ends here. Right. And still, to unite, impossible. What's missing? What's missing is a comprehensive decision in the nation and to turn to the upper force. A decision about what? That we have to unite. Let's take for a moment this word to unite. Suppose I have a certain opinion about the situation here in Israel with our enemies, etc., etc. You have the opposite opinion. Now, we're not in a philosophical debate. This isn't Switzerland. If your opinion rules or my opinion rules in the eyes of the other, we're on the way to a disaster. We're all going to die. And I feel, this is how I feel about your opinion, really, not make-believe. I feel it in my gut, and you really feel that way about my opinion. So what does it mean to unite? To unite means that I am doing everything that I can, maybe already together with you, maybe not yet, maybe later in the future, but that we will be closer and closer to each other. Closer how? If I think that your opinion will bring a disaster upon both of us. God forbid, because of that, we might all die here. So we need to sit on a daily basis as much as we can, maybe 2 or 3 hours a day, all of us, sit and talk. Talk. Talk about what? About everything. What do you have in your family? What do I have in my family and each and every one of us? What do we need to do in order to better understand each other? To celebrate something together? Etc., etc. But what about the basis of the dispute out of which the distance up to hate erupts from? Your opinion and my opinion, they're opposites. Let that be. Let's talk about what we can be close to each other in, and what about, you know, the decisions that we need to make about that we're disputed over. That won't help us. Let's start coming closer to each other. So, like what? To put aside the disputes as if they don't exist? Right? So what? To shut our eyes? What? Are we like little kids? No. We need to understand that otherwise we simply can't. And if you're saying that this is how you talk to little children, then yeah, that's correct. In that we're really children. What do we need to grow to understand the situation? understand the world, understand the upper force. That this forces us to connect with one another and to really be together. The upper force, he wants for all Jews to think the same, that all Jews will reach a state where they are willing to embrace each other, and that this is important, more important than any other opinion. If I look back at our history, always, doesn't matter about what, Jews are in conflict and dispute. I think that it's like the nature of our nation. Even as a kid at synagogue, always there's some kind of dispute, like it appears from beneath the surface. I don't know how, from a situation where each of us is opinionated and stubborn and understands everything and is sure that his truth is the truth, and each of us is like the greatest, how from that to generate something that is an embrace? Let's look together. We have no choice, because our situation is so bad, so dangerous, that we have no choice. Let's search together how will we be able to come closer to each other, how from mutual hate to reach love of others. What can bring opposite opinions together? The situation itself which necessitates it. What we need to come to, the necessity of what? Of living in an embrace. The upper force. What does he want from us? Why is he driving us crazy? The upper force wants that even though that he has created us terribly, he wants for us to rise above our corporeal character and for us to connect to the measure in which he will be able to reveal himself in our connection. What's supposed to be revealed then? The Creator himself? His control, his character, his governance, his love. Our time's up. What do you wish our nation, Dr. Lakeman? I wish in this time for our nation to think, how can we reach, how can we come to be as one man in one heart? Otherwise, we'll have more problems and troubles. Good luck. Thank you very much. All the best.